Let's continue in our talks from 2 Timothy by reading 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 13. In these verses, Paul encourages Timothy to be a faithful Christian. He mentions several points which would serve to motivate Timothy. These points should motivate us as well to be faithful Christians. 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let's look at some background notes, first of all. The primary reason for Paul writing this second epistle to Timothy was to encourage Timothy to be a faithful and dedicated servant of the Lord. The Roman persecutions had already begun. Furthermore, some Christians were falling away from the faith. Timothy was at Ephesus helping to build up the church there. Meanwhile, Paul was in prison in Rome awaiting martyrdom. And so in this final letter of his, Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him to remain steadfast and dedicated and faithful. Here in chapter 2, Paul gave Timothy several models of the faithful Christian. The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer were three of those models. We saw those models in verses 3 through 6 of this chapter. Now in these verses before us, there are several motivating factors that Paul listed which would help keep Timothy moving forward in the ministry as a steadfast and faithful Christian. Now remember, this is the word of God to us today. It's not just a first century letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. These same motivating factors should help to keep us moving forward as steadfast and faithful believers. What are these motivating factors? I think we see four listed in these verses. One, the presence of Christ, verse 8. Two, the power of the word, verse 9. Three, the position of the elect, verse 10. And four, the possibility of rewards, verses 11 through 13. Let's briefly look at each one of these motivators and make them our doctrinal points for today. So doctrinal point number one, the presence of Christ should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. The presence of Christ should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We are to remember that the Lord Jesus is our risen Savior. He's alive. How do you normally think of the Lord Jesus? Do you think of him as he was here on this earth in history? Or do you think of him as he is now, risen and glorified and present with us at this very moment? Both ways of thinking of our Lord are proper. But the point here is that our Lord is alive right now and is present with us. This should not only encourage us, but motivate us to be more faithful as believers. The phrase here, descendant of David, emphasizes both the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and the fact that he was fully man. As man, the Lord Jesus suffered for us. Now he's alive and present with us. Are we willing to suffer for him? 1 Peter 2:21 says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. The presence of Christ should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Doctrinal point number two, the power of the word should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. The power of the word should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. When Paul referred to the gospel at the end of verse 8 as my gospel, he didn't mean here that he came up with a gospel or something like that. No, it was his gospel in that the Lord had specifically entrusted him with the gospel. And now Paul says in verse 9 that he is in prison because he was spreading that gospel. But the gospel was not in prison. That's the point. Paul was in prison in chains, but the gospel was not chained. You can't imprison the gospel of Jesus Christ. People have tried to chain up the gospel, but it can't be done. You remember the story about the French philosopher Voltaire? Let me read you a quote. Voltaire, the noted French infidel who died in 1778, said that in 100 years from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history. But what happened? Voltaire has passed into history, while the circulation of the Bible continues to increase, carrying blessing wherever it goes. Concerning the boast of Voltaire, it's quite an irony of history that only 50 years after Voltaire's death, the Geneva Bible Society used his press and his house to produce Bibles. You can't imprison the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are constantly putting the gospel of God's grace on trial, but they have never been able to send it to prison. Messengers of the gospel have been sent to prison, as Paul was, and as Christians are, even as we speak. But the gospel cannot be imprisoned. Now that fact should not only encourage us, but should motivate us to be faithful, even to the point of suffering. The power of the word should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Doctrinal point number 3. The position of the elect should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. The position of the elect should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Notice how the fact that the saved are elect and chosen by God did not in any way cause Paul to slack off in his efforts to preach the gospel. He was willing to endure all things that people might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was motivated by the fact that guilty sinners, even vile sinners, could be transformed by Christ and could share in his eternal glory. Does that fact motivate you? Think of some non-Christian person that you know right now, even someone that you don't like. A teacher, a boss, a local politician, a world leader. God can save them, believe it or not. God can save them. They can be transformed and share with us in the glory of the Lord. The position of the elect should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. And doctrinal point number 4, the possibility of rewards should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. The possibility of rewards should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Verses 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, these verses may have been a quotation from an early Christian hymn or confession, or even part of a baptismal ceremony. In any case, we have two positive ifs and two negative ifs here. The essential truth of these verses is that faithfulness to Christ brings positive results, and unbelief brings negative results. First, the two positive ifs. If we died with him, that is, if we have identified with Christ in his death, as our baptism pictures, then we shall also live with him, both now and forever. If we endure, that is, if we are willing to suffer hardships for the sake of Christ and the gospel, then we shall also reign with him. Our place in the coming kingdom of Christ here on this earth is determined by our faithfulness now. Now the two negative ifs. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, is this in reference to the unbeliever and the matter of salvation? Or is it in reference to the believer and the matter of rewards? Because of the context, I think it has to do with rewards. Look back at verse 5. You remember the model of the athlete? And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Don't expect much reward in heaven if you're not willing to let it be known that you're a Christian, if you're not willing to serve the Lord. If we deny him, he also will deny us. I think the context here, it's the matter of rewards, not salvation. And the second negative if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Here again, I think the context is rewards. If we are faithless as Christians and don't serve the Lord, he must be faithful to his principles. We will not be rewarded. God cannot deny himself. The idea in he remains faithful is not, well, we can be faithless, but the Lord will be faithful to us anyway. He'll reward us anyway. No, God cannot deny his own principles. He remains faithful to his principles for rewards that he has set up. If we're willing to take up the cross and follow him, then we can expect that we'll be glorified with him. But if we're not willing to take up the cross and follow him, then we're going to suffer loss. There's not going to be much reward. No cross, no crown. The possibility of rewards should motivate the believer to be a faithful Christian. Now, what about practical application? Are we willing to be chained for the sake of the gospel? Are we willing to be chained for the sake of the gospel? The Apostle Paul was, verse 9 once again, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Now we might say, oh yes, I'd go to prison for the sake of Christ. Well, what about other chains? Are you willing to be chained to a particular unpleasant job or location because God wants you there as his witness? Are you willing to be chained to a particular small, unrewarding ministry because someone has to do it and God has chosen you? Are you willing to be chained to a hospital bed because there are other patients there that need to hear your testimony? Are we willing to be chained for the sake of the gospel?